How are we to live it? Is there something we can use to get a hold of the idea of exactly how we're to be as we belong to Christ and as we live for Him? I started this morning to go to Genesis chapter 24. And let that be the basis for our study this morning from the verses that were read for us just a few moments ago. But I decided in telling that story from Genesis chapter 24, it would get much too long, because there's some verses that I want us to look at together. But Genesis chapter 24 is such an important passage of Scripture. I use it whenever I'm doing premarital counseling, because Genesis chapter 24 has a great deal to say about marriage. But it has a great deal to say about life. It has a great deal about saying, it has a great deal to say about working for your employer. It has a great deal to say about what it means to be a servant. It has a great deal to say about what it means to live the life that brings honor to God. Genesis chapter 24 is basically about Abraham's servant. And all through that passage, it talks about his devotion to Abraham. And when you keep in mind that this man was a servant, a slave, and the trust that was given to him and the trust that he proved worthy of, the length of the journey that he took with the wealth that he took with him, and he could have just simply walked away, but he never did. And the entire time that he was away and the entire time he was seeking the wife for Isaac, every step that he took showed honesty, showed integrity, showed faith in God, and showed devotion to Abraham. And it is a very important chapter. So I just put that in the back of your mind. If the verses that we look at today don't seem to take hold, maybe it would help to go back and read Genesis chapter 24. The whole reason for reading Galatians chapter 5 was to read verse 6. But everything leads into verse 6. And the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 5 will tell us what doesn't matter and the one thing that does. Of all the things that there is one thing that matters. And the Apostle Paul highlights it for us. If you look on the screen for as long as the screen lasts, understand there's a bulb problem. I don't know if Adam got it fixed or not. And I don't see Adam anymore. So he's up there. Never mind. So what I'm going to show you is this verse from different translations. And the first one will be the New American Standard. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. Literally, the phrase means anything is has no strength, has no power, has no validity. In Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any power, any strength, any validity at all, and it does not mean anything. But what does mean something? What does have validity? What does have power? But faith working through love. New American Standard reads it that way. The English Standard Version reads this way. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. This is the only thing that matters. This is the only thing that has validity, that counts. Faith working through love. The New International Version reads like this. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. And they're using the idea of the word validity. It has no value. The only thing that counts, the only thing that has validity or value or strength or power, is faith expressing itself in love, or expressing itself through love. The Revised Standard Version reads like the King James and the Old American Standard, and it says this: "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is of any avail, but faith working through love is the thing which is of avail." The International English Bible, that new one that many of us have, reads like this: "When a person is in Christ Jesus, it doesn't matter whether he is circumcised or not. The only thing which is important is faith, the kind of faith which works through love." Breaking this verse down is like this: in Christ, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any power, any might, any meaning, any validity. But faith working through love has power and might and meaning and validity. And to look at this phrase literally, in the original language, it will read like this: faith through. This is the means by which it is expressed. Faith through love working. And the idea of working means to be demonstrated, to be shown, to be expressed. Faith working through love is what matters. Well, what is faith working through love? What is that all about? What does that mean? How do I know if that's something that I'm doing in my life? Am I living my life by faith working through love? Well, let's take a look. And this is where I want you to go with me in your Bibles, and I want you to read along with me. And we're going to start in Galatians chapter 5 as the Apostle Paul begins to expound upon these words that he's just spoken in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. So I want you to look, first of all, at verse 7 and verse 8. Keep in mind the phrase all the way through is this: faith working through love is what counts, is what matters. Now verses 7 and verse 8, book of Galatians chapter 5, Paul writes this to the church at Galatia, who were moving away from this faith working through love. Paul says in verse 7, "You were running well. Your life exhibited faith through love. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Because you turn away from faith when you turn away from truth. When you stop listening to what God has said, you turn away from faith. You no longer have faith and trust in God and trust in what He said. You were running well. Now who has hindered you? By causing you to stop paying attention to what Jesus says and to moving away from what God has spoken." And then the very next verse dovetails in with it: "This persuasion did not come from him who called you." This thing that you are being convinced of, and what they're being convinced of is to go back to the law and to be circumcised. This thing that you are being convinced that you need to do did not come from Jesus. And did not come from the words of Jesus. They're moving away from faith. They're moving away from the truth. Then verses 13 and 14, he will say this: "For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Don't take that opportunity. Don't take that freedom as an opportunity to do whatever you want to do. Don't turn it into a license to fulfill every desire that you have. That's turning away from faith. But instead, use this freedom to serve with love one another. And so this faith working in love, expressing itself in the loving deeds that we do, has reference to our love for God, our love for Jesus, and also our love for our fellow man, And then in verse 14, he will say this. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. This is what counts. This is what gives strength. This is what matters. That we, by our faith, we allow it to be expressed through our love toward God and our love toward one another. 16 and 17. But I say, walk by the Spirit. Walk by faith. Walk by the words of God. Walk by the words of the Spirit. Walk by the message and the example of Jesus. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. If you are concerned about pleasing God, you will not be trying to just simply please yourself. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. We don't do the things that we desire to do. We do the things that we want to do in order to express our love to God. And in order to express our love to our fellow man. All of it guided by faith in God and faith in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 12. This is the first of about three passages that I want us to read together. And we're going to start in Romans chapter 12. What you will notice with each of these passages is that every single one of them are the places where, in this particular instance, we're going to be looking at the Apostle Paul, but the Apostle Peter does the same thing, where he goes through some doctrinal matters, and then he comes to the points of where he expresses how we need to be living and how we need to be living in this world in which we are, and how we need to be getting along with one another, and how we need to be getting along with those that are in our world. Our family, the people we work for, our neighbors, the body of Christ, strangers, those that don't like us, those that hate us, those that use us and despise us. What it is that God expects from us with regard to every one of those life situations that all of us will face. What I want you to notice is how in each and every one of these things that's listed, we're not going to look at everything that's said in each one of the context. I want you to look at faith working through love and how it's expressed in every single one of them. And you'll see it. Because all he is saying by these practical examples, all he's saying by showing all of this practical application is this is what you do when your faith is working through love. And this is the only thing that matters. What was the death of Jesus Christ on the cross? Faith expressing itself through love. What was it about Jesus coming to this world to become like us? Faith expressing itself in love. What's our life to be about? Faith expressing itself in love. Read with me, starting in Romans chapter 12. We're going to start with verse 9. We're going to read just a few verses and look at every single one of them and how they tie in with this. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. Contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Ephesians chapter 4. What I have highlighted is Ephesians chapter 4 through chapter 6, because that's the entire place where the Apostle Paul writes these things. We're not going to read by any means all of those verses. I want you to just walk down with me through them, and I want you to take a look at the things that are highlighted in chapter 4. If you'll start in verse 25 of chapter 4, Paul will begin by saying, first of all, he says, we belong to God. Let's live like him. Let's be devoted to him. And then verse 25, he starts giving the practical things that are necessary in order for us to do that. Stop telling things that are not true. Speak the truth to everyone. Because we're all part of one another. We're all part of God's creation. And so let honesty be what dominates. Let honesty be what comes out of your mouth. That's faith expressing itself in love. Doing for others what I wish they would do for me. He comes on down talking about making sure that the words that come out of our mouth are wholesome. That they edify or build up or move somebody closer to God. Not tear them down or move them away from God, but they move other people closer to God. We're to be imitators of God. We're to be devoted to him. The primary reason why I wanted us to go to this in Ephesians chapter 5 is look at what he says in verses 22 through 33 of chapter 5 when he talks about marriage. Husbands, how are you to be? Just like Christ. Wives, how are you to be? Just like you are to Christ. Faith expressing itself in love makes marriages what they ought to be. Faith expressing itself in love makes relationships what they ought to be. Faith expressing itself in love makes all of us the people that God would have us to be. You can sum it all up. It's trusting in God and expressing that trust in God by my love for him and my love for other people. That's what Christianity is all about. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. The Apostle Paul will write this to the church at Philippi. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, and you can almost look at Paul and say, are you kidding me? Is there any encouragement in Christ? What, are you kidding me, Paul? Is there any consolation of love? Are you kidding me? Is there any fellowship of the Spirit, any affection and compassion? Make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. Don't do anything just thinking of yourself. But with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do you see how counterculture that is? In a world where you look out for yourself because if you don't, nobody else will. This verse makes no sense. But this verse makes all sense. When I understand the context in which it's written, and when I understand that the only thing that matters in life is faith showing itself in love for God and love for my fellow man. And from that standpoint, I'm to do nothing through selfishness, through my own self-interest, but I am to put others ahead of myself. Can you imagine what change would take place in relationships and in marriages if this held true for both parties? Can you imagine what would happen in our church family? We wouldn't be hunting for teachers and begging for teachers if everybody realized we were servants of this body and we expressed our love for God and our love for one another by being servants in this body wherever we were needed and wherever our help could be used. Instead of thinking about, no, I don't want to do that because I got so many other things I want to do. But when we think about being servants of one another, servants of this body, servants of our nation, servants of our neighborhood, servants of all that we meet, because we are servants of God and servants of Christ, then we begin to get a glimpse of what it means to be expressing our faith in love. And that's what Paul is talking about. Look at verse 4. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then he talks about Jesus leaving heaven and coming here, because his whole life was faith expressing itself in love. And he turns around and he tells us that you have the same mindset. You live the same way. You devote yourself to God as an individual who goes through life expressing your faith in God through love for him and love for other people. And it makes us who God wants us to be. This is a backward one. You can turn with me and read it. It's in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. But I just thought of this verse as I was thinking about how this phrase fit into everything that's told us about how to live the Christian life. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, the Apostle Paul makes this statement. If anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Do you see how that is just the opposite of faith expressing itself in love? Because the individual who does not show love for his own, for his own family, especially for those of his own household, if anyone does not express love for his own, he has denied the faith. He's not doing what God has said. He's not living as God has told him to live. He has denied the faith, and he is worse than an infidel. And it's all because he refuses to express his faith in God, his duty toward his family, that is God-given, in a loving way toward his family. So he denies his family, and he refuses to provide for them the things that are needed, his love, his attention, his affection. He refuses to provide for them the things that are needed. That individual has denied the faith, and he's worse than an infidel. Faith, working through love, is the only thing that matters. It's the only thing that counts. It is the thing that causes us to do all that God has instructed us to do. But everything God has instructed us to do has behind it faith. Working through love. That's what the Christian life is about. That's what belonging to Christ and living like him is all about. This morning, are you in Christ? Have you been baptized into him? Do you need to come home to him? If you need to respond to his invitation, we want to offer that invitation to you as together we stand and as we sing.